KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have mostly clear to partly cloudy skies off to the west. And at 67 degrees, we look forward to be partly cloudy today with isolated afternoon showers and thunderstorms, a high around 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. Topping local news, Anita Rescue and Wyota first responders were called to the 65-mile marker of Interstate 80 westbound at around 4:40 this morning for a car versus semi-tractor-trailer accident. A female in a Hyundai Sonata was trapped in the vehicle under the trailer, and extrication was requested. A medical helicopter was also sent to the scene. The woman was said to have suffered head and other unknown injuries. Currently have no other information available. Police in Red Oak say one person suffered what were suspected minor injuries during a single vehicle accident Thursday morning. A 2013 Chevy C1500 pickup driven by 81-year-old Donald Dobbs of Red Oak was traveling north on Broadway Street when the vehicle left the road and struck a tree head-on. The accident, which caused $10,000 damage to the truck, happened around 8:50 a.m. Thursday. Police say Dobbs was evaluated and transported by Red Oak EMS to the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital due to possible medical issues. There were no citations issued. Red Oak police were assisted by Red Oak Fire and EMS, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department, Montgomery County EMA, and the Iowa State Patrol. A single vehicle accident Thursday morning in Northwest Missouri resulted in a Southwest Iowa man being transported to a hospital in Maryville, Missouri. Missouri State Patrol reports 23-year-old Spencer Zarek of Stanton was traveling north on Highway 71 at around 12:15 a.m. Thursday when his 2007 Chevy Malibu left the road to the east about 3 miles south of Maryville. The car impacted an embankment and went airborne and overturned before coming to rest on its wheels. Zarek was taken by private vehicle to a hospital in Maryville for treatment of what were said to be minor injuries. The car was totaled in the crash. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports this morning 51-year-old David Long of Bedford was arrested in Bedford on an active Taylor County warrant for delivery of a controlled substance. A subsequent search warrant was executed on his residence, resulting in Long being charged with possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver. Authorities say 51-year-old Loretta Maracal of Bedford was also charged. Both Long and Maracal are being held at the Taylor County Jail without bond, pending an appearance before the magistrate. Police in Red Oak arrested a man Thursday night for disorderly conduct. Weston Price Jesperson of Red Oak was taken into custody at around 8:45 p.m. in the 300 block of West Washington Avenue. He was brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on a $300 cash bond. Well, some of the 20,000 residents and businesses in Southwest Iowa that have been without drinking water for the past 6 days or so may get clean water in their taps this weekend. New membranes used to filter water supplied by the Southern Iowa Rural Water Association, or SURWA, have been installed. Dan McIntosh, the utility's general manager, said the water treatment system got back up and running at around 11:30 p.m. Wednesday.
We are producing good water at the treatment plant, but as of this morning, that water hadn't even left the treatment plant property because we had to fill up the clear wells and everything. But hopefully this morning, sometime today, we'll be getting good water into the Creston area.
The two water towers in the city of Creston were being drained to make room for the clean water.
We've got the east tower drained. And so the minute we get good water, we'll start filling that because we didn't want to mix good and bad water. When we've got water in it, we'll get water flowing out to the west tower. We'll take it out of service. And we'll take and fill it with good water. And then after that, you're probably going to see a lot of flushing because once we have our towers filled with water, good water, the city crest can start flushing the city.
McIntosh isn't sure how long that will take, but he indicated it will probably be sometime this weekend. He says they will know when clean water has made its way through the system.
We're able to tell the good water from the bad water, basically, is with fluoride. We shut off the fluoride when this first happened.
Fluoride is now being added to clean the water that's been sent into the system. Water samples will be flown to a lab in Storm Lake to determine when each water tower in the system is providing clean water that may be used for drinking, cooking, and brushing teeth. McIntosh is asking customers in Creston not to overuse water once the all-clear is given.
Such as washing the car or watering the lawn or whatever, because the treatment plant is only at half capacity, and we need all the water we can to take to the other communities so we can get them off of this drinking water advisory, too.
While Creston is the largest community on the system, customers in 9 counties are waiting, too, for their water. A few restaurants and bars closed during the outage, while many limited their food offerings. Casey's Stores in the area quit making pizza, for example. Businesses like the egg processing plant in Lenox that must have potable water to operate have had to furlough workers and wait for service to be restored. And Take Back Bridgewater founder Doug Miller has announced that a public forum and potluck dinner will take place this Sunday, June the 10th, at the Bridgewater Activity Center. Doors open at 4:30 p.m. with a potluck at 5 and the forum getting underway at 6:30. Beverages and glasses will be provided, but you're asked to bring your own table service, such as plates, silverware, and napkins. Nationally recognized speakers Frank and Kim Spillers with Global Horizons will share and discuss their 30 years of experience and ideas to help grow the population of the tiny community, create jobs and new businesses, while increasing wealth and reducing poverty and keeping youth in the area. Everyone, not just the citizens of Bridgewater, is welcome to attend the potluck and forum. There is no cost to attend, but donations will be accepted and fundraiser items will be available. Take Back Bridgewater, a grassroots community-based initiative, was founded in February of 2017 with a mission of working in partnership with citizens to address criminal activity and improve the quality of life in and around Bridgewater. More information can be found at Take Back Bridgewater Iowa on Facebook, or you can call or text Doug Miller at 641-745-5108. In the funeral announcements, Dolores Knutson, age 88, of Audubon, died May the 5th in Des Moines. A celebration of life memorial service for Dolores Knutson will be today at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Jamie C. Behrens, age 43, of Audubon, died May the 30th at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. A celebration of life service for Jamie Behrens will be at this Sunday from 2 until 5 at St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Harold Sheeter, age 97, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died Monday in Davenport. Funeral services for Harold Sheeter will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. And Marilyn York, age 77, of State Center, died June the 3rd at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. A massive Christian burial for Marilyn York will be Tuesday at 10 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.